Thank you so much. Before church, was that the second last song, was it planned? Hey? Ella said to me, we're going to sing that song tonight. No jokes. Ella came to me, what is that song? When the music fades. She came to me beforehand. She said, we're going to sing that song tonight. Watch. Did you plan? You didn't plan it. That is unbelievable. Just praying beforehand, and now there's a lot of things that I don't know, God is speaking very loudly to me, and I hope that you can also take from it tonight. Okay, so the message is entitled Seeking His Face, and I just wanna pray before I start. Father, I just humble myself before you, and God, I really pray that Lord, I'm just nothing, Lord, before you, Father, and God, I just want to come to you in such holy reverence, Lord, and Lord, lay every single year of my life before you, Lord, and I thank you, Father, for everyone that's here tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, and I pray, God, Father, that your love will abound here tonight, Father, that your love will be revealed, that your love will be seen. And God, I just give you every single word that I'm planned and made fall on good soil, Father. And may the stuff that I'm not supposed to say, Father, just fall away in Jesus' name. Amen. I was so humbled when Zenzo shared his testimony with me. And I was just so reminded of my own testimony and how the Lord saved me. And part of Zenzo's sharing his testimony with me is this is where I am at in my walk with the Lord at the moment. Okay, so I'm going to skip the first few. It's not really working, Eddie. So I dung in. Is that you or me? Okay, I'll just go on. Okay, so I'm going to quickly just give you some background. So Yaku from Walvis Bay was preaching here the other day, and he was preaching about the Israelites and how they were taken out from Egypt, and as they came, like he was just talking about why God took them out. And what I want to point out here in Exodus 33, very briefly, is he said to Moses, look, we're at the edge of the promised land. You go. I will send you an angel. I will send this angel, that the angel can go before you, and I will drive out all the Canaanites and all the Perizzites and whatever, and then I will not go with you. And then Moses said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. And Yaku made this statement. He said, in Scripture and in our lives, we have this thing where we find we have God's face versus His hands. And that's exactly where I'm at in my walk with God. There's this tension between the presence of God and the promise of God. All I wanted is, I desire so much the promise of God in my life right now that I forgot about the presence of God. And it so easily creeps into our lives. And when Yaku was sharing this message, it just stood out for me so clearly. And I just had to repent before the Lord that God, all I'm wanting from you is your promise. That's all I want. And I've forgotten about the presence of God. I've forgotten about that place where Zenzo's at, where it's just about him and Jesus. He doesn't care how many people get saved. He doesn't care how many healings he sees, or how many miracles he sees, or how many people come to church. All he cares about is that place where he connects with Jesus. And Jesus is delivering him of fear. He's setting him free from ambitions. He shared with me how he was so nervous about achieving in life because his dad is so wealthy and his dad has put so much on him. And he said all of that is gone now because he knows he's accepted by Jesus Christ. So, in Scripture, we see one thing throughout the Bible, and that's what I want to point out today. This is the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, oopsie, let's just go back. Hierdie ding werk so goed voor die tyd. Amy, gaan net gou een terug. There we go. This is the Old Testament where Prophet Jeremiah writes, and he says, "But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." And throughout the Old Testament, this is the one thing that stands out with God. If you want him to be your God, you have to obey his voice. And we see the exact same thing happen in the New Testament. Just go one on. Where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And I remember this so, when someone explained to me at Encounter One, when I did it in Stellenbosch for the first time, I remember them explaining to me that God wants to talk to you, and God wants a relationship with you. And you're not a Christian because you're in a church, because you grew up in church. And that whole thing was broken up for me. It just opened my eyes. And in the past couple of weeks, ever since Yaku shared that message, this has been stuck in my heart. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know, Pastor Sias always used to say, and it was such a difficult thing that he said, is, when last did you hear God's voice? What did he say to you? And were you obedient? And the fact of the matter is, today, in today's world, if in this dispensation that we are in, with Jesus that has already been here, that is the mark of Christianity, is hearing God's voice. It's not a denomination. God has no, he is not a respecter of person. God does not care what church you're in. He only cares about relationship with us. And that's where I'm at the moment. It's just that one true test. I remember in Encounter One, the guy shared this telephone example where, let's say I'm talking with you over the telephone, Ati, and you can't make out my voice. You can't make out it is me. How are you going to know that it's me? The only way for Ati to know that it's me on the other side of the phone is if I tell him something. I mean, he knows Nita. He knows I've got two little girls. We've got relationship together. And he'll be like, "Oh, it's Juan." And that's exactly how Jesus works. We have to cultivate a place where we get to know the Lord's voice so well that even though we don't see him every day, we hear his voice. And we respond to his voice. So at school, I've been a Christian now for probably 12 years, and I've been a teacher for 7 years, and now I'm absolutely desperate to see salvation in that school. But God said to me so clearly when Yaku was preaching, "Juan, you're missing me. I love your passion, but you're missing the whole point of everything. If Luke 10:20, it's not up there, but Jesus sends out the disciples and they come back, they run to him and they said, "Lord, even these evil spirits are obeying us." And what did Jesus say to them?
Do not rejoice that the evil spirits obey you, but rejoice at the fact that your names are written in the book of life. True faith. Amy, thank you. True faith. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. I've always thought that this is literally, if I open my Bible and I read aloud, I'm going to grow faith. And to an extent, that is true. But what I've learned lately is that what the scripture is talking about here is hearing his voice. True faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I will never forget it. The first day, the night I got saved, the next morning, I was reading this book, Purpose Driven Life. And I woke up and I sat on my bed. And the first thought that came into my head was, I will never be able to keep this up. Because I've been a Christian for a long time, well, Christian, and I thought, you know, I'm going to live this life, and I'm going to, last night, I had such an emotional event, and I broke down in tears, and people prayed for me, and I was like, how am I going to keep this up? And I opened the book, and the first scripture that came, the thing that I saw there was, I will finish the work that I started in you. And it was like Jesus said it to me in my heart. It's like he said it to me personally. And that's what the scripture is talking about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, what did he say to the devil? The devil said to him, get on this high building and I'll show you the kingdoms of the earth and I'll give everything to you. And Jesus said to them, take these rocks, turn it into bread. You're so hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. Jesus said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And who here can testify that that moment when we hear God's voice is the moment when we're alive? That's the key. That's that place where we feel we can conquer the world, where we feel like, I don't care if my finances aren't working. I don't care if my car just broke down, which it did almost broke down with Ella just now. It doesn't matter because I can hear Jesus' voice. It's in that moment where the things of this world just fade away. And this is it. So how do we hear? And that's briefly what I'm going to talk about. Here we have the scripture of Solomon. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Now imagine that. He just became king. He's very young. And God says to him, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. Now, imagine the extent of that question. What if God's going to say to you today, Richard, ask me anything and I'll give it to you? What are we going to say? I can't imagine what I can. I mean, there's so many things. God, I pray that I ask you that every single orphan in the world gets a home right now. Something to that extent. But look at what he asks. Next one. And Solomon said, you've shown great mercy. Your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in upright heart with you. And you have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. And then verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord. that Solomon had asked this thing. You see, where I'm at in my understanding is that I am at my place of work. And I see many things that I believe should happen and fall in place. Even in church, I see many things that should happen and fall in place. This should happen so that we can get more people. This should happen so that the people worship better. We should do this and this, maybe have this program so that more people come to intercession. We should do this and this at the school so that maybe the principal gets saved. But I'm missing it. I mean, Solomon could have asked a million things, good things, righteous things. But look at what he asks the Lord. Give me an understanding heart, a hearing heart. And that's the cry of my heart at the moment. I'm like, God, I've got so many plans. I am now taking eagles and turkeys into Bridge House like you won't believe. But I have to halt because it's my plan. Maybe it's not God's plan. I don't know. Do you feel the same? You know, I've got so many plans for that school, but there's a bit of resistance. So at the moment, this is what I'm trusting for. This next one. Solomon wrote Proverbs. So after the Lord gave him all this understanding heart, he wrote this proverb: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And the thing that to me, how it makes sense is it's almost like a bank vault. Your heart is like a bank vault, and whatever is important to you is in that vault. I mean, sometimes the people closest to us, don't even know what in our hearts is. I've been married now for 10 years, and I believe this year I've seen stuff in my wife's heart that I haven't seen before. And it's a place where I mean, your heart is literally what it is about. And I want to ask you tonight, what are we doing with our hearts? So if you think about that vault, whose voice recognition is on your heart? Is it anybody's voice recognition? So anyone can just come in and they're right there in your heart? So my challenge at the moment is I'm trying to program my heart to only open up for the Holy Spirit. While studying for the past 3 years, I was very much trying to escape through movies and series and stuff, and that really influenced me, because the more you open your heart to all these movies and all these things, I mean, it's just so much information. It really influenced my heart. So the Lord said to me at the start of the year, you got to shut that stuff out. You will never hear my voice if you have so many other voices just continually speaking to you. So that's really something that's helped in my life. I think this year, I've probably watched 4 movies up until now, where in the past, I would have probably done 30 or something. I don't know. It was a place of rest for me, but it was terrible. Anyway, let's go to the next one. So here we see Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. So Jesus was talking to the people, and then he said to them, those who have ears, please hear. Now, I don't think Jesus was literally talking about our ears or the people, their ears. He was talking about their hearts. Because here you can clearly see, hearing they do not hear, nor understand they do not understand. Just go to the next one. for their hearts, for the hearts of these people will grow dull. Their ears will are hard of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I can heal them. Just the next one. And this is what David wrote. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So what David is talking about there is exactly when they were at the edge and they were going into the promised land and they hardened their hearts. And what happened? For 40 years, they had to travel through the desert. In other words, they did not find rest. Now, a true test of for every single one of us is, are you at a place of rest in your life? If we hear the voice of the Lord, we are at rest. Now, I can honestly say to you that I, for the past couple of weeks, I wasn't at rest. Because I was so busy, I was just constantly walking up and down the school corridors, like, God, please save these kids. God, we're going to take the school. I was walking up and down, and I was just declaring, and then we'd come to church, and I was just going, 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 and there was no rest in me. So it's almost like a confession to you guys now. I wasn't at ease in myself until I heard Yaku's message, and it hit me like a hammer on the forehead. There's this tension between the presence of the Lord and his promise. And his promise is, we shall preach the gospel and people will get saved. We shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But he said clearly to me, Juan, you are too focused on that promised land. And until you start seeing the reason why I called you is simply to have a relationship with you. And until you settle down and relax and listen to my voice, my guidance, things will start to happen. And that's why Zenzo, I had nothing to do with Zenzo's salvation. Absolutely nothing. He got saved because his dad watched the YouTube video on how to break a curse. His dad got saved, phoned him and said to him, Zenzo, my son, I've lied to you. Jesus is God. Zenzo got saved and he is just reading the Bible. I walked into the breakfast hall. Here's Zenzo reading his Bible. I'd had to look three times. Now, you have no idea the environment that that boy is reading his Bible in. It is absolutely incredible the guts he is showing. Those kids will eat you for breakfast if you mention religion. But he is a very good soccer player, so he's liked by all the boys. So he's like, it's kind of weird because everyone wants to be friends with Zendo, but he's a Christian now. But what I'm trying to say is, God showed me, yes, you've got zeal, yes, you've got passion, yes, you want to do all these things, but just come back to that place of worship. Come back to the heart of worship, what it is about. Come back to hearing my voice. Come back to that love that you found in 2004 when you laid your life down and it was just me and you, and I showed you all these things about you. And that's where I just want to get back to now. Just next one. So we see in Scripture two pictures. We see hardened, dull, and calloused heart versus a sensitive heart. And you can almost think about this as, who here can read Braille? Exactly. Why? Ati, why can't you read Braille? He's never learned to. Why? Why not? Is he blind? He's not blind, okay? Now, if you think about a if you think about me or Ati, if we take our hand over Braille, it just feels like dots on a page. But what has that person done? He's trained his hand to be sensitive, to understand what the dots are saying. And exactly like that, the Lord is showing me, Juan, you must train your heart to be sensitive to my voice. And out of a place of rest, we will start whatever. I don't know. Out of a place of rest, we will see we will enter the promised land. And it'll be beautiful because it'll be in complete rest and it'll be effortless. And that's something that the Lord is really challenging me with. So to end off with, I've got four requirements to cultivate a sensitive heart. And I believe a lot, what Rika had, what she saw in the dream, talks to me a lot about a heart, because she saw everyone was sitting on their cell phones. And it's almost like, to me, that's like you being distracted. You're not hearing. You're focused on other things in your life. And the challenge is, we've got a fast coming up in the next 3 days. And what are we going to do in this time? Now, we have to say to each other, look, if you don't want to do a water fast, then don't do a water fast. Do a vegetable fast. Fasting is not eating less. It is about humbling ourselves before the Lord so that we can hear His voice clearer. So in whatever capacity you want to fast for the next 3 days, fast. But make sure, even if you just fast television, that's fasting. If you just fast YouTube or Facebook, or I'm talking from a very teenage-driven, I don't know, you guys are all older than that. Whatever you feel is consuming your time, the whole thing with fast is, right, we as a church, we have to now trust God that He's going to give us the right elders. And that is massive. We cannot take this lightly. We have to go into this thing and say, Lord, tomorrow morning, I'm consecrating the next 3 days 100% to hearing what is your plan for this, for Shofar Paul, in terms of leaders, in terms of the youth, possible youth pastor that we're going to get, and whatever else there may be. And when we come together on Monday and Tuesday evening, and then Wednesday in our cell groups, it's going to, if we all get together and we all focused on this one thing, I really believe God is going to honor it and He's going to speak to us in the congregation. Proverbs 4, my son, give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. Yeah, thank you, Amy. And then humility. Incline your ear to my sayings. Just go back to the first one. So to me, attention and humility goes very much together. I am very challenged, and I don't know about you guys, but I know about you guys. I am very challenged that we are not spending enough time in the Word. Personally, I am not spending enough time in the Word. And here we have a guy who asked God for wisdom, for a discerning heart. And he wrote the Proverbs. And he said, my son, give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And then the next one. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, what this inclining means is, back in the day, when there was a lot of respect for teachers, students would go to their teachers like this. And it was just a place where you would say to the teacher, look, you're the teacher, I'm the student, teach me. So incline your ear. It's bowing your head. It talks about humility. So what a lot of times happened with me is I come to God with all my experiences, with how I've experienced Him in church before. So I get to church and I've already summed up the entire meeting. I can see who's leading worship, so I know how worship's going to go. Who's preaching today? I know how that'll be quick, whatever. And then we're going to probably talk, and then we're going to go home. Guys, I repent of that. When we come, so my challenge now is when I come to church, God, I come to this church so humbly, and I will not let my past determine how you are going to work in my life today. If you've been a Christian for a long time, you come to church, now God's not going to say anything to me today. We all do that. God's not going to talk to me today. He's going to talk to that guy. He's new. Repent. Hey? So the first one is attention to God's word, and the second one is humility. And then the third one, time. Time. Psalm 62, truly my soul silently waits for God. For Him, from Him comes my salvation. So David writes, we have to wait for the Lord. And this is almost a swear word in today's culture. So I've got this idea. As soon as my girls are old enough to look after themselves, my wife and I are going, maybe once a year, we're going to go for a week. We go away for a week where we just sit until we hear God's voice. And once the girls are old enough, we'll start doing it as a family. I've got this idea that all the men of the church, we go somewhere in the Karoo, and every morning we get together and we worship. Then we fast the whole day. Each guy goes somewhere in the Karoo. You sit somewhere under a tree or whatever, and you just pray and you hear from the Lord, or you sing, or whatever you want to do. And then we come back, and then we break the fast in the evening, and then we talk to each other. We fellowship, and we say what the Lord is saying. And we do that for 5 days. Hey, Ati, for 5 days. Every year, we do that for 5 days. We take off. In January, we say, right, this week is the men's week where we go away, and we're going to go pray and fast, and then we come back. And then we start again. I truly believe for us as Christians in 2018, where we are so busy, so consumed, living in the fourth industrial revolution, we have to set time out where we just stop what we are doing. And we refocus our hearts. And then the one that goes with time is quietness. Be still and know that I am God. So what I found in Proverbs, 4 keys to cultivate that sensitive heart again. And remember what it is about. And I really believe a lot about what was going on tonight is God is wanting our hearts back. He's wanting our hearts back. So I want to ask you tonight, where's your heart? Let's give attention to God's word. What's the second one? Humility. Let's come with humility to the Lord. Let's give Him time and let's quiet ourselves before Him. And that is so important that for my life, it's just, Lord, I put away all my past experiences, all the times that I've been in church. I put it aside, and I thank you, God, that right here, right now, I am in that moment on the, I think somewhere in February 2004, where I just laid my life down for you, and now I have relationship with you again. And that's how we cultivate that sensitive heart, opposed from the dull, calloused heart, where we don't hear the Lord anymore. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is truth. Thank you, Father, that you want to speak to us. And I thank you, God, that there's so much freedom, Lord, in your voice and in hearing your voice and in hearing a confirmation and in hearing someone say something that we've been like Ella tonight, Father. Just she heard your voice so clearly and then it happened, Father. And what a confirmation that is, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can train our hearts, Lord, to hear your voice. And we can train our minds, Father, to quiet down, Father. And as we're going to fast for the next 3 days, Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come to it humbly, Father. In the name of Jesus, we lay down everything we think we know about fasting, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that every single person here will know exactly what they're fasting for the next 3 days, so that we can focus our attention on you. We can incline our ears, Lord. And we can come to you humbly, Father. And we can be quiet and be still and know that you are God. Thank you, Father, that you also say you can be confident and know that I am God. Relax and know that I am God. Thank you, Father, that right now, as we are here, Father, each one of us can just relax and know that you are God. Thank you, Father, that you care about every single breath we take. And as we fast and pray for the next 3 days, Father, I really pray that you'll unite us as a church and as people, Father. I pray, Lord, as you've convicted me in the last couple of weeks, of just hearing your voice again and making sure that it's your voice. I pray for every single person here, Father, and for the whole of Paul, Father, that every Christian will just get to that place again where we hear your voice clearly, where we say, that is why I'm saved. Thank you, Father, that your word says that you will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And Lord, it's so beautiful how conviction is not just making you feel bad about your sin. It's not that place of depression. But conviction is simply a place where we see that there is something better than what we currently have. It's a place of hope. Father, and I thank you again for every calling that is here tonight, that is represented here, every family that is represented here tonight, Father. And I just pray the blood of Jesus over every single person, over every family, Father. And as Eddie shared so boldly tonight, Father, about his place of work, I pray for every single one of us, Lord, that we will hear clearly what the Lord is saying about our place of work, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've called every single one of us to be ministers of reconciliation. And as we sit and incline our hearts and give attention to your words, Father, I know, Lord, salvation will follow. Oh, Father, it's the desire of our hearts to see this church full to the brim. But God, we want to say like Moses, Lord, we don't want to go if you're not in it. And Father, I just feel led to repent, Father God, that we come to you so often, Lord, with all our preconceptions of how church should happen.
Father, we repent, Lord, that we think we understand other people's lives. We repent of our pride, Father. Thank you, Father, that I just experience you saying to every person here that you've got such an expectation to meet with them this week. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to remind them of things that you've said long time ago. And thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you feel your heart is not in the right place, or if you were convicted by anything that happened tonight, whether it was an intercession or during the worship or anything that I said, please do not leave this place. You know, God, the beautiful thing about the Lord and the scary thing about the Lord is that He will not work in our lives to the extent that we do not allow Him to work in our lives. So please do not leave here if you were convicted of anything. Let's pray together. Let's pray for each other. Is there anyone else who still wants to share something?